Goodness. Okay. Okay, no worries. Well, Mark Windows will be introducing the show, and I'm sure he's got a great show lined up. I know
Ah,
that Mark, you're back.
I'm back. I had a momentary lapse there, Clive. I had a momentary lapse, and it may be something to do with being out in the middle of nowhere yet again. And also, I'm showing my camera, which I shouldn't be doing. But it doesn't really matter because this is live radio. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Windows on the World. And today we have Clive Menzies of Critical Thinking. We may get Tim Sanders on a little bit later because Tim has actually got a little bit of a connection issue himself. But that's the wonder of live radio. Just a bit of news in from the UK. Read it and weep. This is from the Mail Online. Chaos as Grant Shapps keeps Portugal and Greece off the quarantine red list, despite speculation over soaring cases, sending UK tourists scrambling home before midnight. Yes, the rate of COVID cases in Portugal has been above 20 per 100,000 for 3 days. I think this is so irresponsible of the British government, but it shows the hypocrisy in the COVID action plan. I think that this is showing signs of falling apart. So, Clive Menzies, what do you think about that?
Well, yes. I mean, in the last paper we produced, we talk about the torture techniques, and there's a paper or a manual that the CIA produced in the 60s about the Alice in Wonderland technique, where effectively you take people out of reality, and after 3 days they'll do anything you like. And so all of these contradictions, whilst you can put it down to incompetence, and most of the people who are in charge of implementing these things haven't a clue as to what's going on. But it's quite deliberate that these things are contradictory, because the more confused people get, the more compliant they become, it seems.
Yes, well, I just found that in the Mail Online, and it shows the absolute absurdity of what's going on. And I think this is a huge problem in that the public are still really not actually getting it, and it couldn't be more blatantly obvious. But we are talking today also a little bit about the power or lack of power of protest. This is something we wanted to bring up. And it's a very important thing because last Saturday in London, there was a gathering of people who were, in the first instance, opposing the renewal of the COVID-19 Act, which basically takes away all previous existing rights and freedoms. And it's now got rather lost and fractured, which always happens to these big movements, which is why I'm rather suspicious of big movements. But what has happened is that there's been a kind of fallout in public, which is something that you never do, even if you are working with people you don't like and you don't get on with. If you are trying to lead something, you never let it get out that there is internal infighting, because then, of course, the doubts are implanted into the public. And they start feeding into, guess what? Conspiracy theories. And of course, we did have David Icke speaking at the protest or gathering at Trafalgar Square last Saturday. And that rather played into the hands of the mainstream media. Yes, the man who thinks the Queen's a lizard was talking to a load of conspiracy theorists and probably right-wing extremists in Trafalgar Square. And this is, of course, what the gatekeeper of the right and basically middle ground, Peter Hitchens, actually reported. He said, well, there was a fascist banner hanging over Trafalgar Square. And of course, you had David Icke talking about lizards. I mean, this is where everything becomes discredited. So I've seen this happen at these different types of protest, or let's call them public engagement with government. And it always happens. So they're now talking about having more of these, and they've fallen out over which dates to have them on. So we've got this person who kind of took over the narrative, and she's a bit of a motor mouth. And now she's saying, well, I want to do mine on the 19th. And they're saying, well, it was the 26th we were all aiming for. And I think it's to do with the fact that the protest is getting split into different agendas. In other words, oh, we want to talk about 5G. Well, I want to talk about religion. I want to talk about child abuse, and I want to talk about something else. And what they're doing, I think, is trying to accommodate these different views. I may be wrong, but that is the way of watering it all down. And next you get the mass infiltration. So that was my kind of take on it, Clive. What was yours?
Well, I was there, as you were, and I think my reason for being there, I hold similar views. I think whatever, whenever there's a large organization, it will be infiltrated and manipulated and subverted, co-opted and broken up. And it's happened in and out over activist movements for decades now. So I think my expectation of protests actually achieving anything tangible in terms of change was zero. But I think what is important, particularly in the current circumstances where people feel they are alone, and people like you and I want to feel that, you know, we're in a very small minority. That may be so, but there is a vital need to socialize and mix with people who are unafraid, who are prepared to defy criminal authority to come out and show what they feel. They may not understand the depths of everything, but the fact that they were out there, and undoubtedly many of them do understand, and we used it, as you know, to create a short video of the villains, the likes of Mark Carney and Bill Gates and others, and actually create some fun within the crowd. And the crowd seemed very engaged with that idea. It was a very mixed crowd. In fact, two of the photos we've got are of this remarkably middle-class looking pair of ladies who were vociferous in their disgust at what was going on, and yet they were enjoying themselves. They were posing with a mask, etc. So I think in general, it was a very necessary show of feeling, because I've been down to Speaker's Corner a couple of times where similar things have gone on, and we were outnumbered by a combination of intelligence police, normal police, terrorist support police, and the media. And one did feel at that time that, you know, there's no hope of getting the message out, as it were. Because however good social media and radio and broadcast is, it's really being able to talk to people face to face and having human contact, which is obviously what this whole COVID Trojan is designed to deny us.
That's right. I think you've made some very good points there. And my view is that that was a really successful day. I thought it was a very successful day. And also, I met up with a lot of people I hadn't seen for a very long time. So I thought it was very good. And
well, it was not least because you and I met for the first time in the flesh.
That was amazing, wasn't it? Yes, you were cycling up Charing Cross Road. Of course, it's Charing Cross Road from the Strand. I was getting it confused with Tottenham Court Road, which is the top bit. But you were you were coming up Charing Cross Road, and I was making my way down to Trafalgar Square to meet some friends of mine under a very large ice cream cone, which has been put there on a plinth, which has replaced the previous nonsensical and postmodern attempts at art. And yes, it was interesting because I met a lot of people down there who actually listened to the show. And that really amazed me, because it's very difficult for me to know how far this is getting out. And that was encouraging. And it was a good, fun day. My reservations are with the way that the speakers take it over and the direction it can now take. Because at these events, it's not the speakers who are important. It's the act of actually going there. And there were a lot of people there. Now, what's going to happen is that the intelligence services and the government will not let that happen again. it was a very organic event, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, because people had made their own banners. It wasn't like Occupy, which was taken over. It wasn't like the absurd Extinction Rebellion or even Black Lives Matter. It was actually, in most senses, a truly grassroots event, which is why I've now seen the signs of rot coming into it. And next, we'll be having consensus meetings, general assemblies, and it'll be going all over the country. And wait a minute, it is going all over the country. And these people think they're some kind of celebrities. And usually, the people who put themselves up as the leaders of these things are usually the most incompetent argument, basically. So the people that they put onto the TV actually undermine the whole thing. And I think that's really what happened. I'm not slating David Icke. He has done some good work, but he's always going to be the man who thinks the Queen's a lizard in the eyes of a lot of the general public. So you can't really come back from that, unfortunately. They also had Piers Corbyn, the brother of Jeremy, who is, in my opinion, not very good at argument and is not sharp enough with his facts. So he got pretty slaughtered on Good Morning, which is this terrible show that we have over here with Piers Morgan, who I think used to be in America. Now we've got him. Thanks for sending him back. Yeah, that was great. But he's on Every Morning, which obviously is breakfast TV. And they had Piers Corbyn on there, the brother of the previous prime ministerial candidate who actually lost, Jeremy Corbyn. And he really was easy to undermine because he wasn't vociferous in his argument, and he brought up hydroxychloroquine and then failed to respond with the tests that they were talking about, which had discredited, had themselves been discredited. And this sort of thing to me is basics. It's the sort of argument 101. You go on there with three or four absolute bulletproof facts that you can throw at them, which they cannot refute. And that's not happening. And that is where my reservations are with the whole thing.
Well, for whatever reason, and I gather because I know one of the or two of the people who were initially involved with the organisation and felt it sort of rather fell apart in terms of stage management, security and all the rest of it. But apparently, there seemed to be some very strange things. They got full PA and everything sorted, and yet when it came to it, they weren't allowed to use it. So the sound was rather inadequate. And I think in some respects that was quite useful, because although people were trying to listen, they were also much more engaged with each other rather than getting whipped up into the usual sort of crowd calls of what do we want, etc. So in many respects, life is very strange. There are good things and bad things, and nothing is all good and nothing is all bad. And I think whatever the genesis of Saturday was and wherever it goes in the future, it cannot help but to raise awareness and to actually bring people together who are building a sort of resonating understanding that this COVID-19 is nothing to do with the virus. It's all about what they're using it for. And more people are getting that. And that can only grow. And whilst one may be sort of somewhat disappointed in the numbers, you know, there were probably around 10,000 people there. The estimates vary, but I reckon between something around 6,000, they've been as high as 30,000, but I reckon it was about 10,000 people. But those people share an understanding, or many of them do, and that begins to resonate as they talk to other people, mix with other people. So I think it's a powerful event, but I agree with you. In terms of long-term solutions, there is only one long-term solution, and that's for us to build something better in terms of resilience within communities, not just communities from a geographical point of view, but communities of common interests around the world. You know, this is what you're doing with your radio show, with critical thinking. We've got people who are involved and who we're communicating with all around the world. That's where the real future lies. It doesn't rely in throwing stones at the edifice of hierarchy, because it's always going to be corrupt. It's a criminal authority. You know, going to court isn't going to solve your problem. Calling on the police isn't going to solve your problem. Calling on your politician isn't going to solve your problem. You have to take responsibility, and that means learning about what's going on and helping your neighbour and developing ideas within communities.
Yes, you hit quite a few points there that I wanted to respond to, and I think those are very good points. The actual network of people is quite big because, you know, in actual fact, a lot of people there came up to me and I recognised a lot there. And of course, because you're like-minded, you're going to go to the same thing. But I thought it was a very interesting day, but it's really about the strategy. And this is where a lot of it all falls down, and the area that I'm most interested in with something that I'm setting up, which involves a small charity, which was attacked by the sort of fake extreme left, i.e. Antifa, etc., and people who are actually trained into taking apart small organisations. And this is the sort of thing I've been really interested in looking at for ages, the sort of resistance. So, yes, the public face is one side of it, the private face is another. And I really want to get into this idea of working in the private. I work in the private and the public. Of course, there's things that we do and say which we don't say on air, but pretty much I put everything that I research out. So all of my stuff is an open book, but I am into strategy when dealing with the corruption within authority, because that was a big area of what the whole Winners on the World thing was about when we had this website called Land of the Free years ago. And we started dealing with this corporate corruption, which had been allowed to happen. So the government deregulation of things like bailiff companies, then it goes into the courts, then it goes into the stealing of property, then you go into the High Court, you realise it's no different, then you realise the juries are led by the judge, then you realise that the judge is undermining your testimony because it was a done deal before you went in. And that is the learning curve. So what I see is a lot of naivety from people who think that this is going to change something on the surface. Of course, it won't do that. Things can happen behind the scenes, however, but the main issue still remains. This has to be about the repealing of the COVID Act and its use of the 1984 Act and not the 2004 Civil Contingencies Act. Now, that might sound like a bit of a mouthful, but there was a group of barristers who were talking about this, saying that the wrong law has been used to underpin this new act. And that is primarily important. And to me, that should be the focus. And everything else is just candy floss. Because if you don't go for the roots of this, if you don't go to chop the tree down by the roots, then you're just going to be going for the branches. And that's just going to be dissipating a lot of energy. And that's my view of it, Clive.
Well, yeah, and I take your point. And, you know, if there is a specific act of protest that is required to focus on that, then that's all very well. My point is that the amount of energy and resource and emotion and spirituality that people invest into those sorts of campaigns, If that same sort of energy were applied to creating something different, independent of the criminal court system and all the rest of it, then the power to actually implement that would disappear.
That's my point exactly, actually, Clive. I didn't want to agree with you, but I just did. Sometimes it makes for interesting radio anyway, especially on this show. See you after the break.
Okay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
On the world. Yes, today we're talking about the nature of protest and what's happening in the UK. And my guest today is Clive Menzies. Just before the break, we were talking all about the efficiency of what is known as protest and sticking to an agenda. In other words, having something which is the primary cause. And I think that's the most important thing with any kind of action. In other words, you can actually emphasize exactly what you want, and then the group can't be infiltrated because you have one aim. And the aim with this was originally to get the COVID-19 Act basically repealed, because they are, after 6 months, bringing that act back in again. In actual fact, it was brought in for 2 years. But there was a review period, and that review period is coming up. And the whole point of this, I thought, was to challenge that. But it's interesting, actually, because my guest today, Clive Menzies, has actually been involved with previous attempts at protest and change, and something that we were both involved in. I made several films about the infiltration and takeover of the Occupy movement, and Clive actually developed his critical thinking group to Occupy. So some good things can come out of these associations, and I think we made that point before the break. So yes, critical thinking was actually born out of one of these protests then, Clive. Is that right, or have I got that wrong?
No, you're spot on. I mean, I've been on the odd anti bombing of Gaza protest, but it wasn't really my thing. But when Occupy happened, I thought it was fascinating for two reasons. One is I'd done quite a lot of research into the subprime crisis and the banking system, and I felt I wanted to talk to people about what I'd found. But I was also curious as to what the police would do, because at the previous anti-Israeli demonstration I'd been to, the police were pretty brutal. Anyway, so yeah, I got there, and I won't go through the whole story, but out of Occupy came, they took over a building called the Bank of Ideas, which is where you filmed a lot of your documentaries. And basically, I went along to a meeting there about setting up a free university. And they said, well, we need to start some courses. So I said, I'd like to start a critical thinking course. And I decided I would start with a plan of doing 40 weeks, a two-hour weekly meeting. And it went on for nearly 9 years. We wound it up at the end of October because we basically finished our research. And I moved on to developing more research and more ideas, and the ideas around tokenization, still very much involved with many of the people who I've met through critical thinking.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting period, actually, because it was the first time that I'd actually seen the Delphi technique in action, which has now become the default way of controlling protest. So in other words, you have a facilitator who arrives, a co-facilitator, everything is basically kept within a very tight schedule, and the participants are steered into the inevitable outcome. So in other words, you say, well, we've got the blue one and the green one, but the blue one won't be in next week, so you've got to have the green one. That's basically what they do. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but not much. But what I saw in there was the way that group dynamics are controlled in the most obvious way. And this is an interesting point, because if you're blind to it and you can't see it, it's another layer of reality that you are completely immune to. Once you can see it, you cannot unsee it. And this was my point, and I've reiterated this point and banged on about it for a long time. Once you know how the Delphi technique works, which was developed by the Rand Corporation in the 50s, it's a way of gaining what they call group consensus. So not everyone's going to agree, but you can make it look as though everyone's agreed. And our whole agenda in this country, whether it's politics or local issues such as planning, are controlled and manipulated using the Delphi method. And this is huge, because if people knew this, then they would know that they were being hoodwinked at every opportunity. So in other words, there's no public participation in anything. So why should protest be any different? And that's really what I learned there, and how these people are trained, because I'd already been into the policies of Agenda 21. I'd seen this being imposed. I'd studied it. But when I actually saw it in front of my own eyes, and the blatant way that they did it, and also the use of manipulation and psychology at a very basic level, I started to find it fascinating. And we made a film called Inside Occupy and the Bank of Ideas. Now, the Bank of Ideas was actually in a USB Swiss bank in Sun Street in the City of London. Nobody gets to squat a building in the City of London unless somebody wants them to. And somebody obviously wanted them to. And I found it a fascinating experiment to see just how quickly it changed in there. In other words, it's a bit like this protest. The first one we saw in Trafalgar Square was incredibly organic, people with homemade signs. The next one, we're going to see other signs creeping in, lots of other agendas, and lots more intelligence people. We'll be back after the break. It's flying over as usual. I'm with Clive Menzies. This is Mark Windows. Call in if you like, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, Does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Today I'm talking to Clive Menzies from Critical Thinking. We were talking so much through the break that I think Clive thought we were on air. So that was a great rehearsal, Clive. But just before we get into the last section, news just in. Diarrhea, vomiting and stomach cramps should be official symptoms of coronavirus in children, say scientists who found they were strongly associated with the illness. Is there anything that's not strongly associated with coronavirus? In other words, is there anything that's not COVID-related? I want to find something out there that's not COVID-related. Is there anything? Maybe there is, I don't know, but we've got Brian on the line. Are you there, Brian?
Western Australia, is that? No,
I don't think so. Well, we haven't got Brian. Never mind.
I'm just here.
Oh, hello, Brian.
Brian's here. So, yeah, you guys like to know there's somebody out here. Well, I'm trying to let you know there is. I also want
to hear it, Brian.
I want to see your guest be successful in his effort. So, I have a little, you know, thing going in that I'm from Seattle, and Ike Rapana discovered this communitarian thing. I know you talk about it a lot. Your guest is recommending community. So what we're doing is using the language of our opponent.
So very good, Brian, yes.
I know, you know, her book is available. The word community is right in the list of words that are our opponent's language. They don't mean what we think they are. And until we can change the definition, we're going to have to quit using that. But I'm glad that you guys are going at this. I wanted to just mention that there is a Dr. Diedrich Klinghardt with a very strong German accent in Kirkland, Washington, which is about a five-minute drive from Microsoft Bill Gates' headquarters. So here we have a 90% talking great. Hey, you know, he says there's vaccines and electromagnetic and Roundup, and this combination is a kill-all for humans. So there's an example of his 90% right-on information. But just like David Icke, he just said this last month that when the vaccine comes out, I'm encouraging people to use it, jab it in you, and this is what I have a problem with. These organized groups, if you're going to try and make some sort of difference, how many times has it been infiltrated? The Occupy would be the perfect example if it wasn't started.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, we left two links to some decent articles in the chat room, and I'd love a brief mention of them in a show in the future. I'm going to let you get back to your guest. I'm really enjoying it.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks for using the chat room. Is that the chat room to Chat and Go?
Roger that.
That's great. Okay, Brian, I'll have a look. I don't generally look while I'm doing the show because I find it a bit distracting because people are often having their own conversations in there. Great that you mentioned Nikki Rapana. I have her book on my desktop here, and at the beginning of that book, she says, we have successfully identified communitarianism as the legal and spiritual foundation for worldwide sustainable development. Now, these concepts are rather sophisticated for the people who are saying no tracks and no vax, because their version of community is very different from the real version. So unless people understand what is meant by the word community to anyone in public office or authority, then they will not understand what community they are living in. And that is incredibly important. So what you tend to get at these kind of events is people saying, well, I've got a birth certificate and I've been put on the stock market. Well, as a number and as a trading bond, that's probably true. I did find out that that seemed to be the case. I went into Fidelity Investments years ago and found that I believed I was being traded in Maryland. It was very interesting, but it doesn't mean anything. And this, again, is kind of disinformation because people then say, well, if they're trading us all on the stock market, then we must be worth X amount. No, it's called a fiction. It's not for you to know about. It's something that works within a system. And this is a huge problem that people don't understand the system that they're in. So people then will get pushed into issues of absolutely no importance. Now, it's interesting to know this stuff, but you have to fight your battles wisely and you have to choose your information and be able to sift through it. And discrimination within information is absolutely essential. But I still bring it back to this point, Clive. The whole issue, it doesn't matter whether you're anti the vaccination or the lockdown or the mask. It all goes back to the Coronavirus Act, which was brought in. Unless that is tackled, then everything else is a side issue, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, I thought Brian made an excellent point about language, and I can be a bit sloppy. And it is quite a problem trying to convey the real meaning of community without using the word. And I think Brian makes a very good point there. The language is important because they're not only appropriating the language, they're appropriating the ideas and distorting them, which is why it has to be organic and small scale and distributed rather than large movements. But I think where I come from is that we are now in the midst of the end game. World War started nearly 20 years ago, 19 years ago, in fact, in September 2001, and it's war on us all, and it's now escalating. And I don't think we've got time to worry about the repeal of acts, because I'm not sure that it will actually happen, because they feel they've got so much power now. I mentioned to you earlier today, I saw this article about Andrew Bailey, the new governor of the Bank of England, saying that the economic situation is worse than they thought, and coronavirus has left a scarred economy. Well, he'd revised his previous, more optimistic forecast from August, and yet it was apparent to everyone before the lockdown commenced that if they went ahead with this, it was going to decimate the economy, and that's what's happening. And simultaneously, you've got a ramping up of fear and division. I mean, to say that America is on the verge of civil war, I don't think is an exaggeration. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Ice Age Farmer videos, a guy called Christian, who's been following the food Yes. supply chain and climate. But his latest video, he points out to the fire at Kent Foods, not far from where you live. He pointed to, I'm trying to remember, in the middle of Idaho, an exploding grain silo. It looks as though there's been weather warfare across the sort of breadbasket of America. So I think we're in a situation where legislation and the sort of niceties of bureaucracy of what they're doing are no longer important. What's important is that people wake up very quickly, because they're coming for us now. And I don't want to sound sort of dramatic, but I do think, you know, this has been a long time in gestation, and I think you and I have been anticipating something of this nature for some years. But I think we're now in an accelerating endgame, and I'm not sure that legislation matters much anymore.
Okay, the only reason I brought up, Clive, it's a very important reason, is that the vaccination, the legality of that, relies on that act, because it relies on the 1984 Act, which means that vaccination become mandatory. So that's the reason I think it's incredibly important, because that is...
I don't disagree with that.
The underpinning of the whole thing. I know what you're saying. I mean, I've got similar views on the legal system and the administrative system, because I've been, I should say it really, shouldn't I? Because everyone else does. I've been a victim of it. Yeah, oh, I felt better. That made me feel like going on a protest and getting in touch with George Soros. It's taken a huge weight off my mind, that has, Clive. Yeah, I think I should get some funding for that. I'm a victim. I'm a minority too, you know. I am a minority where I am. I'm a minority in every way. It's something that's become more and more apparent to me. But that's a side issue. Now, the funny thing is, right, that, yeah, I think the idea as well of words is important. So I think it is important about this definition of community, because if people don't understand what they're dealing with and what they're in, you cannot change anything if you don't understand the system that you're in. And I didn't understand the system I was operating in for a long time. When I did understand it, it was a bit of a revelation, to say the least. But then I started looking at real solutions. So I think there's something in that as well. Now, I think we're also talking from a rather elevated position. In other words, as you just said, we've both been looking into this a long time. So there's going to be lots of people coming up and going, why are you being so negative? Don't you want change? And we're going to go, oh, where have we heard this before? The C word, change.
At the end of the day, the only solution is for attitudes and behaviour to change. And those won't change as long as we have a centralised money system, which basically penalises right thinking and rewards wrong thinking and behaviour. So, and this is why we think it's so important to try and... One, there are two jobs, really, for people like us, as I see it. One is to engage with as many people as possible to try and give them the necessary information or the signposts towards the information that is going to give them a much better understanding. And the other is to point to possible ideas for salvation. And I see tokenization, the distributed network of economics through tokenization, could actually transform the world quite radically and would render all of the hierarchy and their machinations irrelevant.
But surely that's still controlled because it's on the internet, isn't it? I mean, I know this sounds like a very naive thing to say, but isn't that sort of laying itself open to be manipulated?
Well, you know, the internet is a tool, so it can be used for construction or manipulation and control. And I would contrast Windows, Mac, and Google, and all of these big companies who've appropriated free software, which has been developed on a self-organizing basis. It's consistently of higher quality in terms of security, not necessarily in terms of convenience, because there's a trade-off between the two. But they have actually appropriated a lot of that software because it's so good. And the software systems that underpin the internet have all been created, co-created, without any hierarchy, without any company direction. And we're talking about a currency system on the same basis. The problem is that the central banks are talking about the same sort of ideas, and it's, again, this appropriation of language. So if you hear the term Bitcoin, distributed ledger technology, the blockchain, permissioned ledgers, unpermissioned ledgers, then people tend to stick all those in a box and say, well, that's all digital cryptocurrency. Well, there are two marked differences. On the one side, you've got what the central banks want to do, which is introduce a centralized digital currency, so no different from the money system that exists today. In other words, it's centrally controlled. Whereas the blockchain, which was pioneered by Bitcoin, and I'm not advocating Bitcoin per se because it was the first of its type and there are many problems with it. But what it has done is opened the door to a distributed network of lots of different currencies where it becomes not only more difficult to manipulate and to subvert, but actually it works against your own interest within a tokenized environment to actually try and destroy the system, because it actually alters the value system from exchange value. In other words, what's the maximum that I can make from this particular transaction or relationship, to what is the maximum use value in this transaction or relationship. And it's a concept that is very difficult to get across in one conversation, certainly not 5 minutes in a radio show. If people really want to know the way forward, it is the monetary environment has to change, because money drives politics, it drives everything else. So if we really want to change things, we have to change the money. And we don't demand that it's changed. It's already beginning to change. It just needs more of us beginning to engage with the ideas and experiment. And a bit like the free software movement, those ideas that work well, that are secure, trustworthy, and give maximum use value to everyone involved, are the ones that are going to thrive, and those will be copied or adapted and replicated by different people. And what you end up with is a totally disorganized system of money, in terms of there's no central control, but very organized, because it's self-regulating, because there are algorithms that actually keep it very secure and maintain its integrity.
So is this something that you're actively doing, Clive, at the moment?
Well, this is something that Alex and I, who co-wrote the last three papers we did on tokenization, we're exploring these ideas. The ideas came out of critical thinking, and a lot of the elements are already out there. Alex and I have experimented in a very small way, but it's nothing like big enough. So we're talking to various types of communities. And I've mentioned to you that, you know, people like yourself, people who are funding their own activism and campaigning or putting on radios or media or journalists, they could all get involved in a similar project. But it needs more people to understand. And I'm not going to mislead anyone into thinking that there are solutions ready made. We have the building blocks to make the solutions, but it needs a lot more people to start getting involved, because what the internet does, it creates value from the network effect. In other words, the network effect is, if you've only got two telephones, you can only talk to one person. It's not very useful. But if 7 billion people have telephones, it's incredibly valuable. And that's the same idea of currencies. If more people engage with this idea of tokenization, and we get many different projects going, then we get the network effect benefit.
That's great, Clive. Nearly through another show. See you after the break. I'm with Clive Menzies, and we're doing some critical thinking.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. We're having a general conversation about the worthiness of protest and how we really make a change. Oh no, the C word. I haven't heard that since Obama posted on Facebook this morning. He's encouraging change. The Soros type change. The type
Remember
of
that
change.
From 2008.
Oh, yeah, the C word. Well, the big change, of course, is the communitarianism, of course, of which he is a proponent, a political and social philosophy that emphasizes the importance of, guess what, community in the functioning of political life and in the evaluation of political institutions and in the understanding human identity and well-being. Well, this is the problem, you see, because the protest movement will become communitarianism. everyone will appear to have agreed, and then job done, which is actually what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. In other words, control the narrative of public opinion. The globalists need the anti-globalists to implement their policies. And the anti-globalists are looking for something to do. So they get their protests given to them. And if they start one up, it will be changed into a communitarian one where everybody thinks that they've agreed and everyone appears to have had a voice. And of course, the way they deal with the people who don't feel they've had their voices heard is exactly what we were talking about at the beginning, isn't it, Clive, which happened at the Bank of Ideas. In other words, we'll bring it up at the next meeting, but we're not going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
And that's very much the Delphi thing. Yeah.
Well, I came up against it constantly with climate change. There was no way that there was any room for discussion on climate change. It was like a religious cult within Occupy. But I mean, this business of communitarianism and gaining acceptance, what I find fascinating through all this is the parallels with the Bolshevik Revolution. The circumstances or the environment may have been different in many respects, but the similarities are just so startling. The bringing out of anti-Semitism legislation, the attacks on food. I mean, you can see all the steps, and I just find it staggering that people just don't seem to have the imagination to imagine that contact tracing and all these other measures aren't reminiscent of the Soviet Empire and the Stasi police in East Germany.
I think if you present things in a fun way and for the good of the whole community, well, actually, it backfires, which it did in Ireland. This contact tracing app in Ireland, it was hilarious looking at the comments on Facebook, because that's why they put it there, obviously. So yeah. They're saying, doesn't it make you feel better and reassured that you know you're in a safe community? And guess what? It didn't. No, it was 100% negative, the response. So I think this is quite interesting where they're going with it, because obviously it's going to be more social engineering and more for us to talk about. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thanks, Clive.
Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
WinnersOnTheWorld.net. Join us on the website. Have a look around and listen to our shows. See you on RBN next Tuesday and Thursday, same time.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.